Well, I'm glad He's moving and saving sinners. I'm amazed at what God's doing for us, with us and through us. Stand amazed. The Jesus of Nazareth. Well, if you got a Bible tonight, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. I've had this chapter on my heart this weekend, and I wanted to sort of change gears a little tonight and deal with a few things. And Ephesians 5, I believe that would help us to be Bible Christians. Ephesians 5. We'll cover some things tonight you don't hear preached on a lot. But it is in my heart to deal with some things that will help us in our life. Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Thank you for standing this evening, honoring the reading of the Word of God. In Ephesians 5 now, Paul's writing to a group of believers that no doubt were spiritual people. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter number 1 is probably the strongest chapter that's in our Bible. And matter of fact, as Paul begins to tell us what God was doing when we went and looking, it'll make you scratch your head this evening. But now he gets over into Ephesians 5 and he's dealing with a Bible Christian. He's dealing about holy living. He's dealing with daily principles as being a follower of Christ. Paul writes that the early Christians should be warned of the dangers of following in the ways of those still in their sins. And it's just as necessary today. He writes, first of all, there is a sacrificial love. Then he talks about there's a sanctified law. Then he says there is a shining light. And then lastly, he speaks of a Spirit-filled life. I'd like to deal with them four areas tonight for the sake of time. I want to say, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, there is a sacrificial love. We see love enthroned. Now, there is an exhortation in verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This word follower simply means imitator. He is our role model. Michael Jordan ought to be our role model this evening. The Mike Tysons of the world ought to not be our role models. But God said you ought to be an imitator of what He is. And there is an exhortation. Now He says, I want you to be followers of God as dear children. I want to ask you tonight, you that have raised children, have your children ever disappointed you? And I've noticed this, the only times that my children only disappointed me is not when they didn't know to do better, but when they did know to do better. And so I believe a lot of times tonight that we grieve the heart of God by the things that we do that we know that it is not right. Matter of fact, the Bible said that a man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And so we ought to be followers of God. We see that we ought to walk in love as Christ hath loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now there simply, Paul's talking about a sacrifice in the book of Leviticus where they would give God an offering of sacrifice. They would ignite this total sacrifice and it would burn in the presence of God. And God said it was a sweet smelling savor. I wonder how many times in our life that we make a sacrifice and it smells good to God. He says this, there is an exhortation to follow Him or to be an imitator. And then number 2, not only is there an exhortation, But there is an example. He said in verse 2, I want you to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us as an offering. Now we ought to walk in love. It has to do with progress. Now, Christian life, you're either going forward or you're lagging behind. There is no sitting still in the Christian walk of life. It amazes me how you can hear one of the best sermons you've ever heard in your life on Sunday, and you don't even know what it was about on Wednesday. You just sort of remember the title or how good it was. But that's how weak we are tonight. That's why the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe with all of my heart we're in a society of Christians that are being entertained on Sunday morning and Sunday night instead of being challenged and preached to by the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I cannot be an imitator of Jesus with a bunch of women up dancing on the stage. I cannot be an imitator of Christ by people trying to smooth me and sort of pet on me. I need somebody to tell me what Jesus says in this Bible that I may apply it to my life. We don't need entertainment tonight. We need preaching. And the only way that we're going to be followers of God is to know what God did. And so certainly we see this sacrificial love. It has to do with progress. Now, we ought to be moving forward instead of sliding backwards. Isn't it easy how you used to stand up and testify? Some of you used to be in the choir. I don't know why in the world you don't go to the choir no more. I mean, your tongue, you can still talk. You ought to be able to sing. And I'm just talking to you as your pastor tonight. I'm not here to pat you on the back and try to make you feel real good. I'm telling you what God said. We ought to be followers of Christ as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Can I ask you tonight, has Christ ever forgiven you of anything really bad? And I believe that the Bible says if He forgave us, then we ought to forgive one another. Life is too hard going through this world with a grudge. Boy, I tell you, it's an awful thing to have a grudge. But certainly we ought to see this sacrificial love. Paul says there's an exhortation, there's an example. We ought to walk in it. We ought to be growing in the things of God. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, I want to challenge you with this verse. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, the Bible said, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. I told you about one of them boys this morning, what he said. Honey, I heard it. He said it. And let me tell you something. You're never going to do nothing for God till you get hooked into a local New Testament church and get some glue in your britches and sit down under the preaching of the Word of God where the Spirit of God's moving. You're never going to be what you can be till you get hooked in the local New Testament church. I'm a local New Testament church guy. And I believe everything evolves around the local New Testament church. You notice he said he gave all these gifts to edify the body of Christ. Now he said this, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You ought to know what the Word of God has to say about what a man's saying tonight. Just because a man says it don't mean it's Bible. You ought to have you a copy of the Word of God and see, is that what God really said? Then he says, but speaking the truth in love, here it is, may grow up into Him. You want a role model? Honey, you want a tape measure? You want something to become? There's your verse. Grow up into Him, I like this, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We get so childish and so bad, we pout and we sit around and whine. Somebody hurts our feelings and, oh my, ain't nobody never hurt me the way I've been hurt, and ain't nobody had a day like I've had. Honey, let me tell you, our worst day as a born-again child of God ought to be wonderful. I know we got bad days and good days and ups and downs, but at the end of the day, the God of this Bible saved us and sealed us with the Holy Spirit of God. And we're so blessed tonight to know that our name is written down yonder in glory land. And we ought to thank the Lord for this sacrificial love that God gave the best He had to keep you out of hell. Why, I've often wondered this, why would somebody ride a church pew to hell and could be saved? I think a lot about how many lost Baptists there are in our country. One of the biggest ministries I've seen, it's not overseas. It's in our homeland, friend. It's in our local Baptist churches where God's sheep are starving to death. The men of God's quit preaching. They quit studying. They quit praying. No longer is many filled with the Holy Ghost. It's routine Sunday after Sunday. You listen to me, church. When the Holy Ghost moves in the service, services are different. They're diverse. God is a different God. He don't do the same way Sunday after Sunday. God's different in the way He works and operates. But it always lines up with this Bible for the glory of God. I think a lot of times we ought to come to church about 10:30 and just do like our good black brother and sisters do, just go to meet until God's done and go to the house and shout hallelujah. We think God can't do nothing except between 11 and 12. We think God can't save nobody but on August meeting week. But honey, let me tell you something. There is a sacrificial love tonight. And then not only this sacrificial love, there's a sanctified law. You don't hear much about holy living no more. Now you boys that just got saved, you know what? God wants you to live like it. And we that's been saved longer, you know what? God wants us to live like we got saved. Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are becoming new. Now, we ought to live like we got it. This is what he's talking. He said, all right, now listen. He said, you boys are running with a rough crowd. And he said, I don't want you to forget where you come from. And I don't want you to forget where I brought you to. And he says, you ought to know something about a sanctified law. Now, here in verse number 3, he says this of Ephesians 5. Now, don't turn me down. Don't turn your radio off. Don't nobody throw a book. But he says in verse 3, but fornication. That's still wrong. I don't need to go no further with that tonight. Young ladies, it's wrong to have premarital sex. Young men, it's wrong to have premarital sex tonight. You say, preacher, you ought not say that. Well, it's in our Bible. And I figured any good pastor would tell your young'uns what God would have them to know. It ain't the school teacher's deal to tell it. They'll tell you safe sex is fine. God said abstinence is the way. Well, I know that wouldn't get much shout when I got the preaching on your sin. Brother Dave and Brother Tim can shout for me tonight. Now, little girls, boys will tell you anything to get you in a bad situation. And I'm going to give you permission as your pastor, if that little boy puts his hands on you, you ball your fist up and you bloody his nose. And if anybody's got an issue with that, you dial 911 to the preacher's house. I ain't scared of these little punks pull up in your driveway with their blue hair and all their nose pierced together and they can't even breathe. Keep the hands off of the young'uns. A sanctified law.
Now he talks about the immorality in our walk. But fornication, and watch this, boys, and all uncleanliness, that's any impurity, that's the internet, that's dirty books, that's anything that this flesh craves. And don't you be so goofy tonight to think that you can look and turn it off. You can't do it. You'll be hooked into some things that'll last a lifetime. It'll be a bondage you'll be in, and it'll destroy your home tonight. I'm preaching in love, just with authority. If you got an issue, come see me at the church. We'll arm wrestle or something. So we see this sanctified law. All uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You listen to me. You're a member at Liberty Baptist Church, and you go down here to the Five and Dime and buy you a six-pack of Budweiser, I hope your car blows up before you get the house. Now, I hope Brother Ricky and Brother Wendell and Brother Steve and Brother Jeff walks in right when you got it on the counter and you looking around like you swallowed a polecat. Let me go on and hit them lottery tickets right quick while I'm there. Wouldn't that be just like one of y'all buy one and you win $10 million and they put you in the Bowden newspaper? You know something? I was in the drink business when that started, and it had been in Florida. They told me, they said, now, Ken, when that comes to Georgia, you're going to see drink sales absolutely bottom out. I said, what are you talking about? They said, well, it happened to all our plants in Florida. I said, when Lotto come in, said the ones that can't afford to buy lottery is the one that buys it. Let me say that one more time. The folks that don't tithe, they're the ones that always buys the lottery ticket. Y'all look a little more consumer friendly over here tonight. I'll get over here with folks smiling when I'm preaching. They said your drink sales are going to bottom out. Because instead of buying kids a little old drink and a pack of crackers, that mom and daddy going to buy that sorry lottery ticket. The little young'un's going to walk around. Hey, they'll buy their beer and their lottery tickets and let their young'un starve. Let them run around half naked with no shoes and socks on. God, help us tonight as a child of God to act like we say. I ain't perfect. I wish, Miss Patsy, I wish the Lord would let me get a dip of Copenhagen tomorrow. But he won't do it. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection tonight. I'm talking about simply stepping up to the plate and doing right. You'll never go wrong doing right tonight. So he says this sanctified law. He said, we that are saved will act like we're saved. And so that's that immorality in our walk. You know, we live in a society of sexual indulgence. Sex sales, sex sales. Matter of fact, we've seen so much sexual content, the things that's on Channel 2 absolutely would have made my mom and daddy cut the TV off, and we think it's no problem because we've been customized to the day of our society. But let me tell you something, friend, indecent, still wrong. Ladies, you ought to cover yourself up. At the house of God, I don't care. You may not have nice things to wear, but you can wear enough to cover it up. If you not, we'll take you up a quilting class. And you boys, you can button your shirt up too. You ain't Tarzan yourself. Walk in and four buttons undone. You walk in like you're fishing to draw a gun like Matt Dillon. What's up with that stuff? You don't look like you on Esquire magazine, no how. We ought to look like Christians and act like Christians and be Christians.
So I ain't never heard that before. Hang around. He said in verse 3, as becometh saints.
Verse 4, not only immorality in our walk, but impurity in our talk. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now this impurity in our talk, this word convenient in verse 4, it means befitting. Filthiness signifies something shameful or obscene. Dirty jokes are things that make people blush. Today the world tries to pour us in its mold of language and gutter talk. But Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Foolish talking. That silly talk, that's clowning. That's a person that turns everything into a joke. Foolish talk. You ever met them people that ain't serious about it? Everything's a joke. Foolish talking. Jesting, that's cutting remarks. But he says this in verse 4, but rather giving of thanks. We ought to elevate our talk to spiritual things. Talk about what He's done for us. I enjoy getting around my friends. I mean, we can go deer hunting and talk about where God's brought us from and where we are tonight. Thank God I've got a past that's under the blood. I've got no skeletons in my closet. The Holy Ghost pulled them out and chopped their head off and washed them in His blood. And I ain't got no skeletons tonight. Glory to God. Everything's been put under the blood for the glory of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. You say, preacher, ain't you scared something gonna come up in your path? Oh, no, no. Jesus put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Said He put it behind His back and He'll never get it no more. My goodness, a sacrificial love, a sanctified law. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, the Lord's not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Ain't you glad that's in your Bible? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved or melt. I don't know why they're trying to save the earth. Everything's went green. God's going to burn it up. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, we ought to have that conversation of godliness or that behavior, that lifestyle of godliness. Sacrificial love, sanctified law. But then, I want you to look, if you would, now. He said something in verse number 8, got my attention. We ought to be a shining light. Shining light. What happened to Christians letting their light shine? I'm not talking about going in a corn crib, putting on mule blinders, and sitting there till Jesus comes, neither. I'm talking about simply letting your light shine. You go down Panama City Beach, you can go on vacation and let your light shine. You can go out here to the golf course and let your light shine. You can go out of state deer hunting and let your light shine. You can go in your job in the morning and let your light shine. You know, where the old timers, I think, missed it, they become so legal. I'm not a legal preacher tonight. I believe in the grace of God. I believe if God lets you chew tobacco, chew it and shout. He just won't let me chew it. And I think it's bad for you. And make your breath stink. But I'm telling you tonight, we're saved by grace. And so we ought to be the happiest people. Why in the world, if we think we're a notch better than somebody else, why in the world would somebody want to come to Liberty Baptist Church and get in on what you've got if we think we're too good for somebody else? You know something? If we have a new family walking this church on Sunday morning, every family we've got in this place ought to come by and say, we're glad you're here, and make them feel at home. And I don't know why our balcony's filled and our choir's empty. Looks like to me we could sort of sacrifice and show the love of God and see some family. Looks like we could get up there and sit just for 35, 40 minutes or an hour, hour and a half and let folks come in that they've invited into the house of God. It tears me out this morning. Somebody said, can we sit here? That ought to not be even a question. Sure they ain't said, this ain't your pew, it ain't your church, and it ain't my church, it's God's house tonight. You say, I give that bench, we'll take it home with you, we don't want it here. When you're up yonder, you're out of it. And we got young'uns up there in that back corner like a movie theater. I'm fixing to cut all that out real quick. This ain't the drive-in. We ought to just have some common courtesy to look around. We see a new family or two come in and say, look, we'll get up. We'll come sit on the front. We'll sit in the hacking session. Let me ask you something. If you invite a family to come, they want to sit with you. Now, where's all them folks tonight? Something ain't took. And that's all I know to say. Something ain't took. We get some stuff that goes to taking, then we may build a new church one of these days. Build a new wing out there. But what we're going to do on Wednesday night, sit out there and look at an empty wing? And I get so defeated and I'll be preaching so mean, y'all can't stand me. You know something? I don't know if this makes any sense to y'all or not. I'm preaching on shining light. I'm pastor tonight. Leave me alone. I can turn my back on Sunday morning and this ain't going to make sense to none of y'all. I can turn my back, and I can't tell you who's here, but I can tell you who ain't here. It matters to a preacher. When he's preaching, and he knows the church house of his folks ought to be there, and they ain't there, and the devil's running him crazy about why they ain't there. This ain't a game. You listen to me. God has put you under the leadership of this pastor as a flock. You are a sheep. I'm a under-shepherd following the great shepherd. And I'm concerned when you're not growing and being where you're supposed to be. And if I wasn't concerned, I wouldn't be worth my salt. You ought to thank God I keep the foot on the gas pedal. Well, you'd be drifted so far out yonder, you wouldn't even know yourself in 6 weeks. I pastor hard-headed people. Because I'm a hard-headed preacher. Go and punch him, ladies. You can say, amen, preacher. Hallelujah. Shining light. Verse 8, watch this. But ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice the change. But now. Light brings change. He said, you ain't darkness no more. He said, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Shining light. Watch the change. Verse 9, watch the character. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This also could be translated, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Not only the change, but the character. Honey, when you are a child of light, there's some fruits of light that's going to come out in you, and that's goodness and righteousness and truth. And then we see the conduct in verse 11. This is very important. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Don't go along with them, reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now shining light, we see their conduct. But then we see their conviction. He says this. He said, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest, or they are revealed by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. In other words, he said, if you'll let your light shine, you'll convict somebody of the way they're living. The next time somebody's wanting to tell you a filthy joke, you say, hang on. You know, I don't think I'd just embarrass them in front of a big crowd. I'd simply walk off and tell them later, you know what? I wish you wouldn't talk like that around me. I'm not about embarrassing people and being ugly and mean to people. But we ain't got to sit around and listen. God said if we'd be a light, we would bring a reproach on them and a reproof, and we could even lead them to Christ by our lifestyle. That's our problem. We don't have enough lights turned on in a lot of dark places. I wonder how many people at your job you could lead to Christ if you would reprove them by your light. I'll give you some good vocabulary lesson tonight, some good grammar. Don't say nothing out of the doors that you wouldn't pray in church with. Our light ought to bring reproach. I remember I was on an airplane flying someplace. They served drinks. There's a young man. I found out, I think he was around Temple, Georgia. Boy, he just got him one. He got his towel all wrapped it off, you know, and got it all ready, and he popped it, poured it in his glass. He looked over there, and he said, where are you from? I said, Bowden, Georgia. He said, what you do? I said, I'm Pastor Liberty Baptist Church. God, I wished I could eat this or something. But I noticed as I got to talking to the boy, he wasn't enjoying that cold beer too much. Matter of fact, when she come by the garbage can, he just slipped it right over in the garbage can. Let me ask you this tonight. How are you going to lead your friends to Christ if you don't stand up and be a light? Tell me how. They won't come to church to get the preaching. You're going to have to turn the light on in front of them. At your job, let me tell you something, it's easy to fly off the handle. I'm the worst. Man, I can lose my temper just like, and when I feel it coming, I've got to pray, oh dear God, don't let Ken come out. Boy, I'm loaded with temper. Some of y'all got a bait of it too. You know what a bait of it is, don't you? I don't know what it is, but I like the term. Now, shining light, Matthew 5:14. We'll be closing. Matthew 5:14. We're going to deal one more issue, then we'll go home. Matthew 5, verse number 14. You've heard it since Sunday school. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. I like that. Before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Miss Sherry, would you come for me tonight? I'm not going to deal with my last point. If God will let me, I want to preach on that next week in the home on Sunday night on being filled with the Spirit. I feel like I've about got all out of you tonight you can handle. But I want to say this. There's a sacrificial love. You've got to go an extra mile to love some people. You'll have to admit with me tonight, I don't have on no religionist mask. I'm simply telling you, some people is harder to love than other people. God had a sacrificial love for us, folks. And we ought to walk in that. And then there's a sanctified law. You know what? We ought to clean our mouth up. We ought to clean our lifestyle up. You listen to me, Mom and Daddies. These little old babies you're raising, I'm glad you got them here. But you know what? You impacting them more than I am because you've got them 6 days a week. Very important. Sanctified law. God said, watch our walk and watch our words. And then He said, I want you to be a shining light. You remember the story I told you at Pepsi about Tommy? Tommy was a boy as rough as I've ever met, Brother David. He'd had an awful home life. Tommy watched me every day. That Bible on my desk one day, he walked in there and he said, tell me about Calvary out of that Bible. And I began to tell Tommy about Calvary. Two visitors walked in from Birmingham. And just courteously, I thought I'd embarrass him. I closed my Bible, slid it aside. And I'll never forget what he said, Miss Flo. Preacher, are you ashamed? I said, oh no, Tommy, I'm not ashamed. And I began to tell him about Christ. Tommy made a gesture to me that day. He got up in front of them visitors and he walked up. And I'll never forget, he leaned in the frame of that door and he looked at me and he said, preacher, if I die and go to hell, I can say I've had a good time. I said, you said it right. You had a good time. But it's over. And he walked out. And that morning at 3 o'clock, my beeper went off. And you know what? It was Tommy. Tommy had a change of heart. He said, you know, he said, I know you've got something that's real and I need that. Tommy got saved. And I'm not tooting a horn tonight. I'm simply saying this. My eyes opened. People's watching me. And they watching you. I get to preach maybe one time in their life to them if you can get them here. But you can preach every day by your light. Some of you got mom and daddies need to be saved. Some of you got young'uns need to be reached. Some of you got friends. You know something with the crowd of people we've got, so diverse. We've got from school teachers to electricians in this church. I wonder what kind of light God could use out of our lives out in this world every day, walking around letting our light so shine before sinners. Dying and going to hell that God never meant for him to go. That Bible says redeeming the time. I don't know about y'all, but I live for the devil too long. I need to make some ground up. What you need tonight in your life, would you come?
my sister plays. I want to open this altar. Maybe they say, Lord, I need you to help me with my mouth, with my feet. I need you to help me with my light. Lord, I need some help, Lord. Whatever you need tonight, you ought to come.